I am Jamisha Millard, and today I'm speaking with City Councilor for Rita Rockliffe, Ralston King. We asked him to look back on the year and discuss the main challenges and successes of the last 12 months, as well as his goals and hopes for 2021.
What were the year's main accomplishments for Ottawa or for your office, according to you?
Well, I think one of the major accomplishments was the establishment of the Anti-Racism Secretariat, which really is an office that will pursue equity of opportunity and equity of outcome for all people in the city. And it's very important because obviously over the last year, there's been, it's been called into stark relief the challenges around racism and racial inequality, not just in the United States, but obviously throughout North America and Canada and throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we actually address some of these challenges. We have a number of challenges in the city around employment equity, equity governance, issues with access to housing, economic development opportunities, opportunities for youth. So there are a number of different challenges that Black, Indigenous, and racialized communities have in terms of access to resources and equal access to resources that people would obtain from their government in terms of government services. So it was important to see the establishment of that, and I think that was really key. And that was approved in the previous budget, in the 2020 budget, and so we started to see that roll out and start to be established over the last year. And in this year, or this upcoming year in 2021, we're going to see the action planning put in place. So consulting with communities around what they would like to see around these major pillar areas that I had outlined, and ensuring that the gaps and the challenges that are identified by the community are ultimately addressed by policy prescriptions that are put forward by the Anti-Racism Office that would ultimately rise to council at the end of 2021 for approval. So we're starting to see movement. So the next stage, we had the establishment of the office this year. The next stage will be public consultation and then the creation of policies to really address some of the challenges that are identified.
What were some of the main challenges that you were faced with this year?
Well, definitely COVID-19. That's definitely a challenge for marginalized neighborhoods. I have a number of marginalized neighborhoods, unfortunately, in my ward with a lot of vulnerable residents, low-income people, indigenous, Black and racialized people, a higher concentration. And unfortunately, those two elements are linked, unfortunately. Often, if a person is of racialized status or is Black or is Indigenous, then there's definitely a higher risk that person would be low income. And so that is a major challenge. And we know at the beginning of the pandemic outbreak that there was anecdotal evidence coming out of the United States that said that low income, racialized Black people were having higher rates of infection. And so obviously that was a challenge because to really address at the outset because we didn't have enough data. So one of the first things I had called for at the outset was for both Ontario and for Ottawa Public Health to actually look at collecting data, especially around Black community concerning COVID-19 infection rates, et cetera, because without the data, it's very difficult to manage without being able to measure. And so it was very important for us to actually do that so that we could have adequate health system planning and resource allocation. Because ultimately, you can't allocate properly if you don't know what the challenges are. So I think we were successful there because ultimately OPH, after after our calls in April, really moved towards the collection of race-based data, and when we saw some of the data coming out where they were saying where they found that 66% of infections were in the racialized community, and that higher percentage of people who are infected are from the Black community, and that allowed for the proper allocation of resources in my estimation, because once they found that this was disproportionately affecting Ottawa's Black residents, the OPH was able to move with other community members to really work on programs to address these vulnerable communities. And that outreach is direct. And that's what's also interesting about this. Once the data was really amassed, then we knew geographically where the challenge was, the people who needed to be contacted. And so OPH then moved in conjunction with Ottawa Local Immigration Partnership and also with Somerset West Community Resource Center to really create a program of outreach, which is really going door to door in vulnerable communities, vulnerable neighborhoods, to do wellness checks and to facilitate access to different health resources. So, I think we saw the evolution of the challenge of COVID-19, because obviously the Black communities, the Indigenous communities, racialized communities, especially in low-income neighborhoods, would have always had massive health challenges. These would only be exacerbated by COVID, and we needed to have an enhanced response for COVID. And so I think it went from identifying the challenges through data to actually unveiling and rolling out programming that directly focused, in terms of targeted strategies to address neighborhoods facing higher rates of infection. I think that we saw some success there. Obviously, the challenge for these neighborhoods, especially low-income people, are that they are especially undertaking essential work. A lot of the people in those neighborhoods might have the janitorial jobs. They might have the jobs in the hospitals as healthcare workers or assistants, grocery store clerks. And, the added risk is that in order to get to their job, they have to interface with many more people. They're not able to work from home. And typically, people have to utilize rapid transit, public transportation, and that creates greater vectors of risk. So I think it is important for us to have these programs. The other key thing is in many of these newcomer or immigrant neighborhoods, there are a lot of people, the families are larger, and so that's also another risk of greater infection, because you might come back from a higher risk job. Let's just say you're working in a hospital or you're working in a grocery store where you're interfacing with hundreds of people, and then you come home to a larger family. It's not the traditional 1.7 mm-hmm. person like children. You might be coming home to 5 or 6 kids, and mm-hmm. so those kids are going to school. And so there's a lot of interaction. And so that's, I think, the type of programming is important that the city has really kind of engaged in. I think the other key about that programming is it acknowledges that newcomer and immigrant populations don't respond in the same way. So there isn't a one-size-fit-all where, you can simply send a poster or a flyer to somebody and say, this is where the testing is. This is these are the precautions you should take. But that's not always the most effective way to reach newcomer and immigrant communities. So this is much more hands-on in the community and ensuring that there is a kind of a direct point of contact.
Amazing. So what are the other ways of contacting the newcomers?
Well, this has been the major approach because you know, otherwise you're dependent on social media channels. You're dependent upon flyers. I don't know about you, but when you get lots of flyers in your mailbox, you know, often you just junk them.
People don't often look
at this information. So I think the key for and this is the primary way that the city is trying to engage those communities is by saying, you know, we are just going to go door to door. And we are going to work through different types of resources. The Boys and Girls Club are involved. They have a youth ambassador program. All sorts of community resource centers across the city are involved in that. They provide the social services for the different catchments across the city. So you know, I think it's a cross kind of effort across different social services, different social service organizations and the city to do direct outreach to specific communities that would have higher clusters of infection.
So what is the one social issue that should be prioritized in Ottawa as of now?
That's poverty reduction. And we're going to work on that in the new year. I'm going to be releasing early in the new year a proposal for a poverty reduction strategy at the City of Ottawa. We haven't had one in 10 years. We have increasing levels of deep poverty. So while I think the federal government has been doing a better job at addressing poverty through some of its taxation tools, you know, being able to remit more money to people who have children who are under a certain income level, there are still major challenges around poverty that have been increased because of COVID. So we know that unemployment rates have increased, increasing challenges around food security. So one of the reasons why I'm motivated is because half of the children in my ward live in poverty, and the other challenge is that we have some of the highest food bank usage in the province within the provincial riding that we are in, and that food bank usage during COVID at a minimum increased by 10 to 15% during COVID. So we have some big challenges, and we haven't actually addressed poverty in a structured way. So, it's going to be very important for us to really address that. And that's going to be really one of my number one issues as we move forward.
And finally, what are some goals that you have set for yourself and the city?
Well, you know, we continue to move forward with the establishment of the Anti-Racism Secretariat. So it's going to be very important to develop policies, you know, that citywide. And my hope at the end of the year is that we are closer to developing a strategy for poverty reduction. So that's why I'll have that proposal. We'll see what form it takes, whether it's going to be standalone or whether it falls into the rubric of the community and well-being plan that the municipality has to have. You know, in terms of some of the consultation that was done on the community and well-being plan, there was an interest expressed to really have a component of that plan that deals with poverty reduction. I'll be pleased if we do some serious work in the context of that provincially mandated plan. I would be equally pleased if we had a standalone strategy. But at this point, you know, my goal is to really see if we can address that in a substantive way when we get to the budget process in the next year. So it will give us time to have a fulsome discussion about what needs to be done, hopefully on a citywide basis. And it will give us time if there needs to be additional resources allocated for us to have that discussion and for us to ensure that city staff do recommend, you know, real solutions to some of these massive problems that we have.
On today's news story, I spoke with City Councillor for Rideau Rockcliffe, Ralston King, taking a look back at the last 12 months and speaking on what's next for 2021. I am Jamisha Millard, and thank you for tuning in. This news story was made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada.